Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, 12th of December, 2023. My name's Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all your normal podcast providers. If you're watching on YouTube, thanks for joining us. Why not like and subscribe down below? Or give us a bit of feedback if you're listening on a podcast or whatever. We always like a bit of feedback. On this week's show, 3 points from four. And given the recent run of form, it's good to see. Let's look at those games. Jacob Friend will be popping by for a bit of a chat later on. November's Player of the Month has been chosen, and Simon's been down to training to have a wee word with him. It's a home doubleheader against the Storm this weekend, and their captain, Cam Critchlow, will give us a lowdown on his side's fortunes of late. We'll also look ahead to the cup action on Wednesday and look at any other news and dops and all that sort of thing. Davey, how are you doing?
Not too bad, Paddy. Not too bad. That's enough.
Good, good. Mr. Kitchen, how are you? You'll be welcome back. Big thanks to Gareth Martin for joining us last week. You were doing something that was secretive that eventually became apparent.
Yeah, not too bad, Paddy. Yeah. Not too bad. No, it was obviously the Hank thing just sort of came out of left field because we were obviously trying to get him here for the weekend, and then as soon as it was agreed, he literally just got on a flight that afternoon and flew in. So yeah, good to have him back, and unfortunately I had to miss the show last week and go get him.
Yeah, well, then let's get straight on to that, because the Giants on Wednesday morning confirmed the return of Henrik Eriksson to the Belfast Giants. 11 points from 18 games last season in the Grand Slam side. He returns from short spells in Norway and Switzerland to bolster an injury-ravaged team. It also means that I can apologize for the language as I get to play this again.
This is why I signed here, and like to have a chance to win the league and the Challenge Cup, it's feels so fucking good.
Yeah, good to have Hank back. Davey, I'll start with you. Your thoughts?
Yeah, listen, always good to have a player that really wants to be here in town. And, you know, our woes over the last 6 weeks with injuries and illness has been well documented. And always good to have another body. Obviously came in Saturday night or Sunday. What day was it here? Were we in Coventry?
Last Tuesday.
Sunday? Yeah, but I don't know what day we were in Coventry. It was Sunday, wasn't it?
Saturday.
I was there. Saturday. See, lost track of day. It's 1+1 on, you know, on Saturday, coming up with the game tying goal and with the six on 5 at the end there, you know, big, big goal. Thought he played really well on the night, and it's good to have him back in and going straight away.
Says, you know, you travelled up with him in the car. He gave a great interview that's available on our Twitter or X account if you want to check that out. He seems pretty pleased to be back.
Yeah, no, he was really excited to be back when I picked him up in Dublin Airport. He's just a bubbly guy. He's good to have around the room. Good player when he gets going. I mean, I think he'd 11 points in 20 games last year, Davey, was it? Some important goals, obviously, in the cup final. And, you know, he loves a good interview as well. So it's great to have him back.
I'll play it again. Let's play it again.
This is why I signed here, and like to have a chance to win the league and the Challenge Cup, it feels so fucking good.
You think that was the game against Guildford, wasn't it? Basically the championship clinching game, and he comes up with those two big goals on the night, and, you know, never to be forgotten. What a night.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Fantastic. Right. Let's get stuck back in, gentlemen. As we said last week, you know, the Belfast Giants are looking to get back on the horse, and they would do so in a game against the Nottingham Panthers. Never forgive. Never forget. 4-3, dear Belfast Giants. Goals for the Giants come from Preston Cooper, Nazarian, and the game-winning goal come from Kohei Sato. LeMay, Betteridge, and Michaud for the Nottingham Panthers. In nets, Tyler Beskarwani, 23 shots on, 3 goals against. Rok Stojanovic, 34 shots on, 4 shots against. Andy Dalton and Vitas Lukasevičius were your two referees. Davey, do you know what? Watched the whole of this game and then watched a bit of it back again. I'd argue that the scoreline makes it seem closer than it really was on the ice.
I thought it was a fairly... I know you, me and Coach had a little WhatsApp, and I'd said quite early into the game that take the first 5 minutes of the game out. Once we got that first 5 minutes over, I felt dominated. I thought we had the ice fairly tipped in our favour. It was a game of funny, another one without going too much into officiating, because I'm skint at the minute and I can't afford to say anything I shouldn't. You know, we find ourselves in a lot of penalty trouble on the night, came up against, you know, having to kill a lot of penalties then when you're already feeling a wee bit short benched. Listen, I thought it was a well-deserved win. Good to get a power play goal or two behind us. Banging in and around the crease again, getting not greasy goals, but goals from in and around the blue paint was important again. This lovely goal here from Preston, that quick release that we've talked about all season. Simon talks about his shot all the time on the webcast. And, you know, he gets into those sort of slots. His shot's away off the stick before the goalies are expectant. And it's a hard shot from what Simon says. I think Besko's obviously said about it as well, says can come on that. But I just thought of across the piece tonight, this one... Thanks for cutting the goals this week, Paddy. Saved me doing it. But you know, you've obviously highlighted this section here, which is for me. In this, you either take them both or you don't take any of them. For me, you know, okay. Bobby throws a little cross check into the gloves here. He gets roughly manhandled straight after. For me, it's got to be both of them or none of them. I don't think from that incident, from what you can see there, that you can put one team on a penalty kill. I don't think that's a 2 minute penalty. It's either to both of them or none. But anyway, we came up for me just a little bit of inconsistency through this whole game, and obviously you're highlighting it there on the highlights for us to talk about. So we'll talk about it. There's obviously that we have a couple of 5-on-3s from penalties that are called, and you know, for me, this highlights package is taking forever here, but. Nothing really more to say, Paddy, than I thought we were fairly dominant in the game. And as you say, even if you look at the story of the game, if I throw up, sorry, I should have done that to start with. Apologies, people. Brand, hit there. If you want to follow along with the stats, that's the tracking for the story of the game. And the XG and the sort of the story of the game goes along, just has Belfast ever so slightly ahead the whole game. And I thought the only time that we gave them an in into the game was when we were having to kill those penalties and for long sections of time. We were, you know, sitting on our backside in the penalty box. Obviously came abusive official calls, too many man calls. Just those little things that just, you're looking at a wee bit of a rub on the night and we never got them.
Simon, you know, a few things popped up from this game. Not least a bit of we can have a bit of officiating talk, because there were some odd calls, you know, not even come back into it. It's a great goal from Betteridge, but they level things up on the back of a 5-on-3 from an elbowing call on Davey Phillips that I thought was meh. And then a tripping call on Quinn Preston, which I also thought was But I, everybody can have their disagreements on officiating, but it just seemed a bit, it didn't seem to justify what the Giants were doing on the ice.
This is a very difficult one. Due to the position that I'm in with working for the club, and I always like to give my opinion. I'm not usually shy on that. I think it, Davey mentions it all the time. He's always goes along the lines of, he always looks at the officials and tries to be positive about it. But the whole league's got better. Make no mistake about that. The players have got better. The running the clubs have got better, in my opinion. It's, there's so many things getting better. And we just need there's a few other bits and pieces that I feel are sort of need worked on. And make no mistake about it. The referees have a difficult job. That it's absolute given. That's the situation with that. But they also need to respect the players and the coaches. It goes both ways. But a lot of the time, they're not showing any respect for the players and coaches. I had a fan that said to me on Friday night after the game, some of the comments that they've heard, because they sit pretty close to, and they're sorry, there's that elbow, by the way. I'll come back to that in a minute. They sit pretty close to the bench, and they can hear, when you're down that level, when you're down that low, maybe not sitting right behind the glass, but when you're down that low, you can hear the players and the coaches and their opinions, and you can hear the referees shouting as well. And if you're going to dish it out, you've got to be able to take it. And that goes both ways, both for the players and the officials. I just feel that everybody needs to be feeling getting better. Obviously, we've seen a bit of an issue the week before. Toby Craig getting a bit of hassle. And then there was an incident there last week. I think it was a Cardiff and Glasgow game. Again, high stick, glove, Josh Batch. I don't know. I had a look at it, but it's very difficult to see, in my opinion. And then, obviously, the issues with our own game at the weekend. Look, I think we'd probably just need to take a little step back and go, right, do you know what? Let's all be better. And that our discipline, we've got more penalties than anybody else in the league this year for the games we've played. Our discipline needs to be better. Make no mistake about that. I think that we're the only ones out there in a game, slashing, hooking, tripping, making all these elbowing, allegedly. Absolutely not. Calls are made. You would like to think calls are made with merit if it deserves a penalty. And if referees need to be calling on penalties, then absolutely call it. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty. There shouldn't be any gray area. When you look at some of the calls that were called over the weekend, and look, this is one thing that I feel really strongly about. We won this game at the weekend. We didn't lose it. So we're not coming from a point of view of gurning because we get beat and the referees were the reason that we get beat. That's not the case. We won the game against Nottingham Panthers. And the Panthers are really good, by the way. They are a good, good team this year. But I just feel that the way things have started to turn, everybody's criticizing the referees. Sometimes merited, yes, but I do think that the players need to take that little bit of accountability as well. Adam's already held his hand up on numerous occasions and said, I need to be better. And that's because he's an honest guy. He just wants to win. Everything that he does, he wants to be the best at. And it is a problem. To make no mistake about it. I think Adam sort of takes the flack and he's sort of taking the attention away from the players on occasion, not all the time, but on occasion. But sometimes you just need to step back and go, do you know what? It is some of our people need to step up. It's not always the coach's fault. Guys are paid to go out and do a job. Referees are paid to go out and do a job. I just think that everybody needs to be better. I think without putting myself in too much trouble, I think that's probably the best thing I could say at the minute.
Davey, you've moved the highlights here for the people watching on to this point.
Why? Okay. We'll jump back to this because we had George Wada on either last week or the week before and we talked about 200-foot goals. Bit of communication between D-men. Here's a nice wee bit of analysis on it. We've got a nice position in the offensive end. We're winning 3-1 at this stage. We go in, okay, a couple of players have a little bump against each other, but the two D-men have the two forwards coming down. Nicely positioned. There's a little bit of a crossover. The third man should be our centre man coming down, flying down in. Goes to the puck. And obviously 3-on-2 leaves a panther in the centre there just to take the puck in on Besko and make it 3-2. So that's one of the ones we'll be working on. George Iwata was talking about it last week. You can't concede those 200-foot goals. Marty talked about it on the webcast about the centre man. Just take the centre man, let the D-man work with the two forwards that are coming down. And then this is for Sez. We'll pause this just at a good time here. I think, I'm not sure which referee called it, so I'm not going to name names.
Randy Dalton called it.
Okay, so whenever we pause here, you can see the PhonoCab logo on David. You had this on Twitter the weekend. You can see the PhonoCab logo. His elbow is probably no higher than belly button. Whoever the referee is, they say, down the ice on the die, I can't make that call. He sees the elbow coming up after the hit, but it's not the elbow coming up in the hit. It's just a body going and coming up. If anything, he might catch a little bit of shoulder pad there, but that's not an elbow. I'm pretty sure it's not a penalty either.
The Twitter coaches were shouting elbow, mate.
Sorry?
The Twitter coaches were shouting elbow.
The Twitter coaches didn't see it, obviously, because it's not an elbow, and it just is one of those.
Me show's a bit smaller than Davey.
Yeah.
Under no circumstances is that an elbow and penalty. I don't think it's a penalty at all.
No, I agree.
My gripe with the whole thing would be where Andy called the penalty from. He's literally behind Micho. Vitas Vukasevich is 30, maybe 40 feet away from it. Andy's at least 100. He's two blue lines away from it, so he's at least 80 to 90 feet away from the play. And he makes that call. It's never a penalty. It's absolutely not a penalty.
I agree. I think that's what puts us in the back foot. That's what coming into it, and that's where Nottingham get their equaliser.
Yeah, again,
then we go on this one where the guy drives the front and draws a tripping penalty here and puts us on a 5-on-3 late in the period.
I gotta be honest, that's a penalty all day long. That's a tripping call all day long.
That's okay. And I'm just highlighting that there, but here for me, this is a penalty also. Ben Lake isn't given the ice here to go and play the puck. For me, this is an interference call. Ben Lake can't go and get the puck. Bang, bang, it's in the back of the net. So if you're going to call him, you're going to call him consistency. For me, that's a penalty as well. But like we move on, it goes 3-each, and then we come up, and hopefully the next clip, Paddy, if you've done it right, it'll be Kohei Sato with the winning goal. Skates down, goes in on Rokstanovic. Wins the game.
Wins the game. Let's get some of the thoughts of the coaches.
Yeah, when things are not going your way, it seems that things continue to not go your way, and it's how you react to them. I thought our group reacted very well to, the whole game. And I thought they just kept pushing forward. Obviously, calls go against us, and they score, and our group didn't quit, just kept coming back, and finally Kohei got the big winner, and Besko shut the door, and everybody was pulling the rope, and that's nice to see.
Yeah, we tried to compete, so we have, the start was not what I expect, like the first 5 minutes, then we came back in the game step by step, and the same on second period, like the start was not what we expect, so no, we have some positive stuff, like but we know the key points where we need to improve, and we'll work on it.
Two things before we move on. Towards the end of that game, that raised an eyebrow or two. One, Nottingham messing about on an icing call to give their players rest, and there not being a delay of game call. And two, there being seven men on the ice as Stevanovic goes back. Despite the fact that they're already playing six up front?
I'll go on the first one. Sez can go on the second one. There was 58 seconds between whistles. Now, if you get a 30-second timeout, that's two timeouts. There's 58 seconds from the rest blew the whistle for the icing. Did they drop the puck? And it was clear what was happening. We took a delay game penalty for a face-off infraction on Saturday night, which for the amount of face-off infractions in this league, to take one for it was it was so soft to allow that to happen. 60 seconds more or less, 2 seconds off a minute between face-offs. And I've been doing a little bit of face-off analysis which Simon will know about, over the last month, and the time taken in certain rinks between a whistle being blown and a puck being dropped, but 58 seconds, a minute, mental, between that whistle for the icing and the puck being dropped again is nothing short of a disgrace. And that's just all I've got to say. And it can't happen. It can't be allowed to happen. But Simon, you can go on to the 7 men on the ice.
I'll just touch on the face-off for the wasting time from Nottingham. Look, see if you can get away with it. You get away with it. However, with the way the game was being called on Saturday night, there was no chance of that being called against us. None. It's just that, you know, I agree, Davey, it's a penalty all day long. You know, you've the whole point of trying to capitalize on a tired. We had them planted in their area for nearly 90 seconds at that point.
It was a double change ozone shift we had. Yeah. Two full changes in the ozone. We had them pinned. You win that icing call.
Yeah,
you have to take that advantage. And they'd used their timeout, being the point. They'd already used the timeout. Because I think they pulled the timeout whenever the third goal went in.
But they couldn't use the timeout on an icing call anyway. But however, you know, the bottom line is,
of course,
it's a penalty for delay of game. And there was no balls. There was no balls to call it. The second part of it with the 7-on-5, Taff is screaming. I could hear Taff screaming for more. I was sitting, and it was ignored. I mean, there were 7 guys on the ice, the goalie and 6 forwards, or 6 ice, 6 skaters for the Panthers, for at least 10 to 12 seconds, completely ignored. And there wasn't even a get-together of all 4 officials to discuss it. There was nothing. Look, all we're asking is the game to be called fairly. And right now, we feel that it's not. Hold on. I can't say we. I feel personally, it's not being called fairly.
Okay. Let's move on, gents. The highlights in that game, of course, available from Belfast Giants TV on YouTube.
Old Paddy, no opinion, Smith, all of a sudden.
I know.
Stepping back from this one, Paddy.
Paddy's giving me a sore head. He's talking that much, tonight.
I think you find actually when I agree with you, gents, I just stay silent. I don't need to add anything to it. I think that both those calls were both ridiculous. The fact that they both got away with them.
I think it can end up rolling over a little bit of frustration, and I think that played into our early game and even right through. We played a full period shorthanded on Saturday night. And I think that's a rollover frustration from officiating Saturday or on Friday night. Let me tell you, from being quite close down there on Saturday night, it wasn't good.
Simon's going into disco here. What's that happening?
Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing.
I want to race through the Coventry game before we bring him in. But but I agree. And the other side of it is, you know, talking about the referees, is there's a level of, you know, criticism. And you're allowed to criticize refereeing. You're absolutely allowed to do it. I think you should be allowed to do it. But there also needs to be a level where it has to be constructive, and you can't just get criticism, not abuse. And we've said this before. Be critical, but not abusive. And one of the things is because as I move on to the Coventry game, you'll see why I think that there also needs to be, you also need to tread lightly, and you'll see why. I'll tell you why in just a second, because we're going to go on to this game against the Coventry Blaze that took place in the Sky Dome on Saturday night. Davey was there. It was an overtime win for the Coventry Blaze, who took it 3-2. I think one of the first wins they've had there in quite a while. Roth, Norrish were 2 goals in regular time for the Blaze. Preston and the returning Henrik Eric. In nets, Tyler Beskarwani, 25 shots on, 3 goals against. The other side, Taron Cozen, 29 shots on, 2 goals against. Your referees were James Irons and Dean Smith. So I'm pretty sure Dean Smith retired. But the fact that we're in a position now where, you know, who's going to be refereeing next week? Andy Kirkham. David Kloutman. That's pretty high. That's up. And David, you were there. I will start with you. You know, discipline.
Hey, listen, you can call it discipline. I think there was factors at play here right from the start of this game. Sid said at the start there about me being a ref's guy. And I always say they're part of the furniture and they're there to be respected, and no refs, no game and all. But I just felt on Saturday night this wasn't a well-officiated game. I think we have our own part to play in that as well. where discipline maybe got away from us at times. Obviously, we've got the there's a great outlet pass. I think that's a wee one off Besco's pads. And Hank, as I was reading React, and has sent that pass up through to Quinn Preston. He's away to races there. Pops it over Cousin's glove hand, gets us an early lead in the start of the second period. It'd been a pretty well matched up first period, but we came out there strong in the second period, and then we've got into penalty trouble again. They've scored two, I think, with the extra man. We've came back really strong there. We've pulled Besco at the end. I think we're on the penalty kill as it is, and we've pulled Besco to make it 6-5, and we've came up. A shot from the outside goes in, and I think it's Quinn Preston on the back post, hits it, goes across, Cohay shovels it across, and Hank's on the back post there to make it 2-2. And at that time, everybody's buzzing. We've got it the overtime. A well, well-earned point. Blaze are a better team than they were even a few weeks ago when we were down there. And obviously, there's the disappointment. We threw everybody into the rush on the 3-on-3. Coe's going down the right wing, gets a wee bit caught up in the snow, you know, 23 minutes of ice. You know, it's got a wee bit choppy there, and unfortunately for him, it's just turned over to blue line, and obviously we've all piled into the end zone trying to make the play to save it going the penalty shots, and unfortunately for us, it's gone the other way, and the breakaway on Besco makes it 3-2, but listen, where we were to come away with a point, let's take the positives out of that, and the discipline, obviously losing Laker early in the game, not having Longer from the night before as well. Playing 5D all night long. I think Charlie Curry's played like 31 minutes or something. So guys are going to be tired towards the end of the game. You just see here as Cole just takes it into the end zone. The two guys are busting with him. And it's just one of those. It's a turnover. There's no blame attached there. It's just one of those. It's just a hockey play that goes wrong, unfortunately, for the kid. But I just thought there was times through that game that certain things happened. You seen another abusive official penalty. I'll tell you one wee story. We went on the penalty. And there was just a little mix up in the players that were put out in the ice, and we ended up with 3D men on the ice, and Cohay went to go for a change, and the ref's like, no, you're not making the change, you're not making it. And they're like, lads, come on, just let's, and no, and we had about a 4 second shift where puck's dropped, it's shoveled back to the blue line, they've had a shot and Besco saved it, and the ref skated over. Do you want to have a change now? Just a little level of arrogance that's unnecessary, and just getting people's backs up. And Adam said it afterwards as well. We have to be a wee bit better with our discipline, but there's also factors. Everybody has to play their part, and the officials have to play their part in that as well.
Simon, how do you feel this game went for the Giants?
Lack of discipline. You know, I think it was 11 2-minute minors, and then obviously Lakers call. That certainly didn't help. It's one of those ones where, you know, Charlie Curdy, we talked on, he played 31 minutes on Saturday night, 8.5 of them shorthanded. He must have been exhausted, as are, you know, obviously Jacob would have been tired. We're playing with 4 defensemen at one point. It's you know, we've been down guys and they've got a lot of ice time over the last while, and it's been really, really difficult. When you take the penalties out of the equation, I thought we actually did really well. I thought we played a good game. I didn't get to watch the game on Saturday. I watched it on Sunday afternoon. I was trying to stay away from the score, but unfortunately it's impossible these days. I thought we did okay. I genuinely did. I thought we controlled a lot of the game. Even shorthanded, we had still a couple of chances shorthanded. The Cavalier of, I think it's 4-5 they've won. So they're on a bit of, you know, they've had a tough start to the season. They're starting to ramp up a wee bit, and they're playing decent, and there's some really good players as well. But when you're taking 11 minors in any game in one situation, whether it's our fault or whether it's the officials making the calls, you're putting yourself in a really difficult situation. So, however, 3 points from the weekend after the month that we've had, I think the boys will be happy with it. They certainly would have preferred the fourth one. And I have to give a shout out to Arlene Dixon. She's been yakking away in the comments here for a couple of weeks. I did say it a few weeks ago, but I think Arlene's probably about 10 or 11. And she every time she sees me, Kitsy, give me a shout out. And I've tried to give her a shout out. I think she probably had to go to bed the last time I gave her a shout out, and she didn't say it. So hi, Arlene.
Hi Arlene.
Hello, Arlene.
Let's have a quick look at the DOPS, because the it is a case of something we have to discuss. Ben Lake has been assessed a 2-game suspension for Spearing that took place in this game against the Coventry Blaze. I've not seen anybody really, Says I'll start with you. I've not seen anybody really disagree with this.
I do.
Oh, do I you? Go on.
I went back for the last 5 years on Dobbs on Twitter, and he's done 10 years. I mean, Davey has to go five better, doesn't he?
No, I'm just telling you, you can add on another five.
I know, but I got bored. So the last 5 years, there's never been a two-game suspension for Spearing. When you look at that play develop, watch, look at your man Stick. I can't remember his name.
McNulty
jabs at the back of Laker's leg. Do you know what? See if Laker's not on balance there. He goes down. I mean, he sort of loses a bit of balance. He goes down, and that could cause a serious incident, serious accident. Referees don't know if they've seen it or not. They're not going to call the initial one. They're going to call a retaliation. Laker knows he's got to be better there. In all fairness, you know, it's a long, long season. McNulty's just a wee dick anyway, so it is what it is. Well,
coming up on next week's show.
David, I'll give it, take your opinion on it as well. But you say, and I agree with you, you know, there hasn't been a two for Spearing. But are we not in the sort of, not to put it lightly, but the sort of post-Johnson era, that, you know, after what Adam Johnson, that the tariffs for things like this are going to be higher?
Why?
Because they're going to just crack, they're going to crack down on the game a bit more.
Why?
Because the severity of it.
Why?
I just.
Why is a penalty different now than it was on the 20th of October?
So, I agree. It shouldn't be, but we've seen it happen a few times now where sometimes. Right,
well, then let the league come out and say that, because let the league come out and let every player know that the game's changed. You can't do that. You can't snide someone with a wee spear in the back of the calf. That's okay. The only part of the back of the leg, it's got no protection. That's okay. You're going to have it. You're going to get it back. All right, the reaction's wrong. Maybe if Ben wasn't coming back of the injuries that he's coming back off, maybe McNulty gets grabbed by the scruff. I don't know. Listen, Simon said it's a long season. There's been two Spearing penalties in the NHL that have deemed to be two games penalties in the last 10 years. There's been none in the Elite League. So it's the first time in Elite League since 2014, since Dobbs has had Twitter, that they've given two games. So let them explain. It's no different. There was two or three last year. DeLuca had them. Broussard had them.
Did Henbrin get one last month? I think he'd give him a slashing, but in all fairness, it's a spear. And he only got one penalty. That's worse than that. Now, I know everybody, all these different people will be watching, not Giants fans, but other fans from around the league, because we are the best podcast in the league. That's just the way it is. They'll all be watching right now, and they'll be going, oh, you're just best. Yes, that's the whole point of sport. We are Belfast Giants fans. If you don't like it, lump it. If you don't want to watch, don't watch.
However, as we said from Saturday night, Friday night when we're talking about the Panthers game, Saturday night when we're talking about the Coventry game, when we're talking about on-ice officiating, and then we talk about going to Dobbs, be consistent. Yeah. Let everybody know what you're going to do so everybody knows what they can and can't do.
Right. Fair enough. Fair points. Let's quickly hear from the coaches and then chat to Jacob, friend.
It certainly did in terms of goals, but percentage-wise, maybe not. There was a lot of disrupted power plays too, you know, penalties in between and stuff like that. It was a stressful night, I think, for the players, you know, emotion-wise, you know, the refs, things like that. And but listen, I what I said to the group was, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, we probably would have went and found a way to lose that hockey game, right? And I thought we did a great job in the third period, even when they had that 6-on-5 for about 30 seconds there, guys blocking shots. We kept them to the outside, and unfortunately, one goes off a skate and kind of hits the side of the net, but takes a weird angle back in behind Cozy, and we thought he had it. Whatever, it happens. But great goal by Lucci there, you know, to get us the 2 points. And, you know, I'm happy for the guys. You know, we've been playing with a lot more confidence here lately, and obviously turning those good performances into wins, and that's key, right? You know, sometimes you're not going to be at your best, but, you know, the performances have been good. And, you know, it's resulting in 2 points.
I liked our effort tonight. I thought we were good tonight. Obviously, shocking discipline, including myself. you know, you can't kill for 20 minutes and expect to win a hockey game. At the same time, I mean, I guess Coventry is the most disciplined team in the world. They didn't slash or hack or whack or do anything tonight. So, you know, that's frustrating for us. But, you know what, it was a huge point. We battled back there, got a big goal there at the end, and then obviously a turnover and cost us the game. And, you know, we just obviously, you know, we're up against it right now with some injuries, and then you lose Laker tonight and lose Longer last night. You know, so obviously guys were fatiguing there in the third period, I thought, but I thought they gutted out those kills and gave us a chance to get that second point. So we're going to build on that, and we'll get some, hopefully get some bodies back here for Wednesday and focus on Wednesday. I thought that there were some real good things today outside of the amount of penalties that we took.
The one thing that struck me, if I could describe that in one word, was resiliency from the Giants tonight. Would you say that was fair?
Yeah, certainly. Stupidity also for the amount of penalties, like I said, including myself. But yes, they dug deep and got a lot of kills done tonight, and then we're resilient there at that last with the goalie out to get that point, you know, and that's a massive point for us. You know, a 3-point weekend at this stage after the month we've had, we'll certainly take it. But we need to refocus, and our discipline needs to get much better for sure.
Those watching on can see the lads in the background working very hard. excuse me.
Quickly give a shout out to Kelly. Kelly's been in bed since Sunday morning. He isn't well. Get well soon, Kelly.
His ears must be sore after you talked him right off him Saturday night.
The highlights of that game are available from our good friends at Blaze TV. You get those on YouTube. Right, let's crack on with our first guest of the evening, Belfast Giants D-man, who came just, he's had a bit of experience in the AHL, ECHL. I will say, he played for the Owen Sound Attack, and that is not the reason I'm wearing my Peterborough Pete's hat. That's just a pure coincidence. Please welcome to Viewing the Bridge, Jacob Friend. How are you doing, mate?
What's going on, guys?
Oh, is that a stitches in the eyebrows of you?
Yeah, that was from the Coventry game, actually.
Yeah, you went off for a short while. Is it okay?
Yeah, no, it's fine. Ironically, I was sitting on the bench when I got high stick. So talk about penalties, we didn't get one for that one.
Give us your reflection on the weekend. Obviously, a bit of a bad run of form coming into the weekend, but to take three from the 4 points, you must be happy enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's been said a couple times in the past few minutes over the past month that we've had 3 points in a weekend. It's kind of nice for us, but obviously we definitely would have preferred the 4. I thought the Nottingham game, we played a relatively good game. That's obviously a good team, so it's going to be a bit more of a back and forth. Obviously, I've been in for a few minutes now. I heard you guys reflecting on the refs. I think that there maybe could have been a better game from the refs, but it is what it is, and you got to play the game that way that it is, and we stuck through it, and we put our best foot forward when all was said and done, and then we got the win in that game, and then we move on to Coventry. I thought that we felt we deserved that game and not against Nottingham, so we were coming in feeling pretty good in that Coventry game. We got the first goal, and to be honest, I thought it was going to kind of be smooth sailing from there, but obviously the penalty trouble is not going to help for us, especially short-bodied. And then I was out for 10 minutes of a period. You got 4D, one of them being Cam Pound, and I think it's his second professional game or something. So, I mean, it wasn't easy for our team killing for that much. I thought I was proud of ourselves for getting that 1 point, you know. I really thought we were going to get it done in overtime, but it's just the way it is. Hockey plays happen, but I mean, I was proud of us to get that 1 point with everything that happened in the game. We obviously shot ourselves in the foot in that game, trying to take that too many penalties.
Jacob, bit of a shake up in lines in the last couple of weeks. You've been going with Charlie most of the season there. A bit of a shake up. Are you enjoying it with your new D-man partner?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, we're all very capable defensemen on the team, and Davey's an extremely experienced defenseman, so I've been learning some tips and some tricks from him. Obviously, with the 5D, we play much playing with anyone in Coventry, but in practice, we've been doing a lot with Davey, and I'm enjoying it. You know, playing with Curdy was great, and if I get a chance again, it's awesome. But like I said, we got very capable defenseman in that room, and Davey's a great player to play with.
He on the ice, we all know what he brings. Off the ice, you don't sit that far away from him. What's he like in the room?
Davey's awesome. He's one of the characters in the room that keeps it light when we need it. But like I said, he's got a lot of experience. So when he's talking, you're usually listening, especially because if it's going to be funny, it's going to be really funny. But if it's serious, it's going to mean a lot too. So, I mean, he's great. He's awesome to have in the room.
Obviously, you know, you've just touched on, you know, the boys have been dying a lot of injuries this year so far. A couple of newcomers have come in. We're starting to get a few boys back. The dressing room's probably not big enough right now. We need a few extra seats. But what's the vibe been around the last few days? Obviously, looking forward to the Challenge Cup quarterfinal first leg tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's exciting. I mean, some guys are getting close, and practices have been a lot different just with all the bodies, and guys haven't been used to it, but it's nice. So it's exciting getting some of those guys back. They're close. You could tell that they're close. They're excited to come back. And Wednesday is going to be awesome. It's my first crack at a game where every single goal matters, not just one game at a time. So it's going to be cool. The aggregate score is something I've never been a part of. So I'm excited for that. I think we've got kind of a little chip on our shoulder from losing last week. So we're hoping that we can get it done. But obviously, we just got to make sure that we're playing our best game and staying out of the penalty box.
You've got that. It's interesting you make that point, because there must be a shift in mentality, you know, from all the teams you've played on, and then you come into the Elite League, where the league is what we want. The league is what we're after. We always say 2 points in October mean the same as 2 points in March, you know, and also you threw in the mid-season cup and things like that. How are you finding this sort of transition to a different style?
Yeah, it's very interesting, you know, like, it's funny because in the North American style league, you say the same thing. You say 2 points are just as important as the first game of the year, but you forget about it. You don't really think about it at the end of the year when you finish second and you're in playoffs and it doesn't really matter. You're still in playoffs, or you're 2 points back of first when you could have been a first, but you're like, whatever, we're still in playoffs. But it's not like that, which I personally enjoy, because I want to win every single game. And I've always said that finishing first when you're just in when you have playoffs is just as important as if you're just getting in playoffs. But the adjustment for me is different, because it's almost a little bit of anxiety as to making sure you win every single game, where obviously you're not going to do that. But the adjustment is not, I guess, over concerning yourself, but not under concerning yourself, because obviously every single point, like you said, is very, very important.
What did you think of Tottenham Hotspur Stadium?
You know what? I've been to
just a couple. Just to clarify, that you and some of the lads went to the game between Spurs and Newcastle at the weekend.
Yeah, we did. It was awesome. I've been to a couple NFL games. I've been to some MLS games. MLB games, NHL games. I think that was the coolest atmosphere I've been a part of. I mean, the stadium itself is obviously immaculate. And we were sitting right close to the Newcastle fans, and just listening to the two groups of fans go back and forth at each other all night was hilarious.
A good game for you to be at, considering the way that it went.
Yeah, no, it was great.
Are you now a big Spurs fan?
I gave myself a 2-hour pass because I've attributed myself to be a West Ham supporter.
Oh, come on. You not like West Ham on Spurs. That's just not right.
A big shout out to Mark Brooks. He'll be delighted to hear that. Commercial manager for the Elite League.
I had to come up with the team coming over here. I have a friend who's from Leicester, and he said that you have to have a team who you support if you're going to be over there. I didn't want to jump on a bandwagon team of someone who's always in the top of the league simply because I didn't want to be that guy.
Spurs is perfect.
I didn't want to be that guy, so I picked a team that's, I guess, right there. Maybe has a less of a chance of winning, but still there, I guess.
That Tottenham Stadium is something else. I've watched a couple of NFL. NFL games there, and when because the actual NFL pitch is below the football pitch, but right. The atmosphere at the NFL games that they've held there has been phenomenal. But yeah, really fantastic stadium.
So do they move the grass to?
Yeah, the whole pitch goes underneath the. Do you know the big stand, the one continuous stand at one end?
Yeah,
the pitch just breaks up and rolls underneath that stand.
Oh my.
Yeah, it's incredible. You can see it, like you can see the dugout. It's like 6-8 feet above the NFL pitch.
Quite a stadium. If you go on YouTube, you can watch the video of it speeding up. Obviously, getting it over there, it's unbelievable.
Wow, that's interesting.
Two things before we let you go. First of all, obviously the game tomorrow, and then we have Manchester Storm at the weekend. What are your thoughts?
So, game tomorrow is going to be, like I said, it's going to be cool. It's my first crack at the aggregate score. It's a playoff game, which is new to me too. In the middle of the season, having playoffs is definitely something I've never experienced before, but I'm excited. Like I said, we got a little bit of a chip on our shoulder. We definitely want to win after losing in that exact building. I think it's good for us, to go right back there after a loss in that same building, to put another good effort in and hopefully come out with the right score. And then obviously you have back-to-back against Manchester at home. I could be wrong here. I don't think we've had two games in a row at home yet. I could be wrong.
Nope.
So that's obviously very exciting for us because no travel on a weekend. That obviously takes a lot of you getting up and going to the airport or getting on the ferry. And jumping right back into league play after a playoff game is also going to be a little bit of adjustment for me. But I think if we could just take it one game at a time, we worry about tomorrow. We put our best effort in. Hopefully we get the result we want. And then we go back, do the same thing. Just put our best foot forward the first game at Manchester. And the best thing about this sport is even if you put your best effort in, you don't get to win, you get to do it the next day. And it's at home. So we just got to make sure we take it one step at a time. We're obviously in a little bit of a slump, but we've been feeling that we've been putting some good efforts in. And as long as we just continue to do that, things are bound to go our way.
One last thing before we let you go is actually I'm going to introduce the next guest on the bridge and bring him in alongside you because I believe you might know each other. Please welcome, with the games against the Manchester Storm this weekend, please welcome to your view from the bridge, the captain of the Manchester Storm, Cam Critchlow.
What's going on, Crit?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Hey, Brender.
Turn your phone 90 degrees, Cam, if you would.
90 degrees.
And that should... There we go. So how do you two know each other?
So actually, Cam Critchlow was my first professional hockey roommate. We played in Jacksonville together.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah.
Seems to have frozen. He's not delayed, or he's just not opening his eyes.
Yeah, so
here's Cam.
Cam picked me up from the airport even coming in Jacksonville. So he was the first guy I met going into Jacksonville, and then we lived together for quite a bit.
It's one of those things that you find that hockey and hockey circles, things are quite tight and quite small. Yeah. You always come across these guys time and time again.
So I knew Cam had left that season, left Jacksonville, go back to Manchester. And I obviously had kept my tabs on him throughout the years. And then the first game this year, playing Manchester, going on the ice, I saw Cam and I saw four other guys on the team that I knew that I didn't even know were there. But it's like you said, the hockey world is obviously small. So there's quite a bit of familiarity around the league. And Manchester happens to have five guys on the team that I know.
Unfortunately, Cam seems to have dropped out, and hopefully he'll come back in a few minutes. But listen, Jacob, listen, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and good luck. Good luck to on Wednesday night, and good luck. Oh, no, hold on. Wait a minute. There he is. Coming back. Cam, what's your memories of Jacob?
Jacob, super, super nice guy, good teammate, honest player, tough as nails, not someone you want to play against, so. Looking forward to see him again on the ice this weekend.
Yeah. You said you picked him up. You picked him up from the airport.
Yeah. I think I was one of the first guys Jake's met in pro hockey, so I was lucky to be able to help him out, picking him up at the airport, moving him into the apartment, and seeing his career obviously grow over the years, and he's become a great pro. So it's always nice to see someone develop the way that he has.
Jesus, the nicest thing he's ever said to me. No, I'm kidding. He was great. Like you said, he was great. He was a true pro when I got there, and he helped me along the way. So thanks to you.
You're playing each other on Saturday, lads, or Friday. You don't need to be. You know what I mean? You can throw someone out there.
Don't worry, I won't be saying this stuff to him on the ice.
No, Jake, he plays with an edge, so I wouldn't expect many pleasantries out there from Jake.
I mean, he even rides out high sticks on the bench. You know what I mean? That's the game he plays. Yeah. Jacob, listen, we'll let you go. We really appreciate your time, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Cheers, Jake.
Big thanks to Jacob Fred for joining us. Cam, thank you for joining us. Big win against the Fife Flyers at the weekend. Give us your take on how the Manchester Storm are getting on at the moment.
Yeah, I think Saturday was a big win for us. We hadn't really been playing the way that we had liked here for about a 2.5-3 week stretch. So that was a big win. I thought we played pretty desperate. That's what we needed. And, it was a good team effort. Everyone on the team had a really strong game. Winninger was strong in net again. So it was just a good, complete performance. You know, I think anytime you play Fife, Shane Owen is a strong goaltender, and they have a good team. They're skilled, they're fast, they create offense. So I thought we came in, played well, executed the game plan we wanted to do, and luckily we got the result we were looking for.
I know this will be real cliche, easy to say in hockey. Everybody's searching for consistency, and it would be fair to say the Manchester Storm have just been a little up and down. You know, you've played well stretches, you've tanked in sections, and then you've came back again. Is it just a daily struggle just trying to find that consistency?
Yeah, Davey, I think that's pretty accurate. We've been good in stretches and bad in stretches so far. So, yeah, consistency is definitely something you want to find early in the season and continue to do so throughout the year. But I think we just kind of had a dip, and hopefully we can get trending the right direction again. But we've had a little bit of changed up the lineup quite a bit. Every game seems to be a bit different. Looking for something that clicks between lines, D pairings, whatever it may be. But, I think if we can just keep playing the system well, the way we want to keep going, we've shown early in the year, we've pretty much beaten everybody we've played so far. And you just got to keep going and make sure you come to play every game and not have any dips in the season.
I don't know how long you were in the green room. I know we can see you down below there. We were talking about Davey Phillips. He obviously had a great career in the British game, played in North America as well. Davey went out to Australia, must be about 2010, 2011, something like that. I noticed in your career, you also went, same team, Adelaide, and that was your first jump from North America straight to Australia. How did that come about?
Yeah, Davey did. He was in Adelaide, and him and I have spoken about it before, but I was just finishing up my college career and was kind of itching to, get some, just do a little bit of traveling, play some more hockey, get some more experiences in, and I had a couple of buddies that were playing in Australia, and I was able to get an opportunity to go. So I thought I'd go down there and play a little bit and get to travel before making my my turning pro. So I think I went from college to that summer playing in Australia, then going to the East Coast League from there. So it was a lot of hockey in a span of 2 years, but it was certainly a lot of fun.
Cam, you've already faced the Giants twice this year, 1-1. Both teams have got a victory, both in Manchester. You've had success in Belfast over the last couple of years as well. Obviously, the two games at the start of December last year sort of turned our season around, and we lost both of them. We went on a pretty solid run after that. But how did you, obviously you'd be passing that on to a lot of, within the Elite League, there's a lot of new teammates every year. What have you, what messages are you passing on to your current teammates to come into Belfast this weekend?
Well, I think anytime you come to Belfast for Manchester, it's always exciting, first and foremost. You know, you come into a building with a lot of energy, playing against one of the top teams in the Elite League, obviously, and just go out there and enjoy it. I mean, it's a beautiful arena. It's fun to play in, beautiful city. You know, we hop on the plane and fly over, so it's a bit of a different travel day for us. But, you know, you go there and you got to be ready to play a strong, solid team. Nothing's going to be given to you when you play the Giants. So, you know, you got to go out there, play hard, play strong, and, you know, be ready to compete every shift. So I think anytime we go over there, you know, you're in for a strong game. So you're going to have to come and play with energy, play with passion, and also, you know, play as a group. So I think, you know, we've seen Belfast twice already, like you said, but, you know, it's a little different playing on the road, and it's never easy to win on the road in this league, no matter where you are. So I think, you know, you got to be prepared, come in focused, and ready to play with some jump.
You've talked about, you know, you went through a stage there playing in Australia and then the ECHL, played a lot of hockey. Your season was extended last year with playing for Team GB for the first time. How was that experience for you?
It was great. I really, really enjoyed it. They got a really good group of guys, good staff. That's why I kind of chuckled when you brought up Davey's name. We got to meet Davey for the first time there. He's quite the character. Great guy. They were really welcoming. And you know what? It's a really, really well-ran program that they have there. And for me to have my time there and have the opportunity, you know, put the sweater on, I really, really enjoyed it. And it's something that I look forward and hopefully can do again.
Interesting, like, we're talking about your past career and leading into the Manchester Storm camp, and you know, you're the captain of the Storm. You have been for a couple of seasons now, but more or less everywhere that you've played, more or less, you've always had a letter on your shirt or captain the team. Look at New Brunswick, you look at where you've come through. What is it about your character that leads you to having those letters on your shirt?
Yeah, I think you know, I've been fortunate enough to wear a letter and represent a lot of teams in their leadership group that I've been a part of. So I don't know, I take pride in doing it. I think it's kind of just my personality, my character, and it's always has been since I was a kid, and how my parents kind of taught me and brought me up is just kind of how it's always been for me. And I always want to take pride in what I'm doing and make sure I'm always doing the right things, and you know, you're working hard and saying the right things and just kind of buying into the general goal of, you know, team aspects. So it's just, that's just something that I've always done. And you know, I'm lucky to have the trust of, you know, Matt Ginn and the coaching staff here to represent the team and be the captain. So it's something I definitely take a great deal of pride in. And I'm lucky to have a good, you know, a really good team of assistants and leaders in our room as well. So that certainly helps. And, you know, anytime you can get leadership in the room from either assistant captains, and, you know, there's a lot of leadership from guys who don't wear a letter as well. I think that, you know, you guys have seen that firsthand in Belfast over the years. So you may, the difference that can have and the impact that could have in the room. So it's definitely a big help for me.
You came in demand. Sorry, go on, Davey, you wanted to pick up.
I was going to say, just because you brought him up there, Cam, obviously Matt Ginn, between the pipes in Manchester, gets injured, is off the ice, gets involved, and obviously then becomes your coach. Has that been an easy transition to have a guy that you've been on the ice with then being your head coach?
Yeah, I think he's done a fantastic job, if I'm being honest with you. You know, he was obviously a great goaltender when he played, and he got to be introduced into the coaching game again a little bit there when he was injured with Ryan as the head coach. And I think he kind of learned, you know, how to really instill himself as, you know, a coach and take on a new position. So he's done a great job. It's been a bit of a learning transition at times, but for the most part, it's been good. You know, I have a ton of respect for Matt and as a player and as a coach. So I don't think, you know, I hope that respect's always been there for him, but to see him kind of grow into the role and you know, also improve and get better in a lot of different areas, that's been pretty cool to see him and the growth and how you know, he's a hard worker, man, and he's a smart guy. So he's kind of getting better each day as far as you know, coaching and systems and people management and relationship management. So yeah, it's been pretty cool to see him, you know, develop into the coach that he is now.
We know he's watching. He watches every week. you said all the right things, but what does I've always wondered this, from a goaltender becoming a coach, does he look at the game differently? Does he try and portray and put his stamp on it differently compared to maybe guys that you've been coached under before?
Yeah, I think you know, like anytime you have a former player moving to coaching, especially, I think, you know, you always remember from your playing days what you know, what was harder for you in the net or what you liked and disliked. So there's a lot of different things as far as, you know, offensive plays and in zone time and D zone exits and plays as well that he, you know, he likes and what he's trusted in the past and what he's always, you know, he's always been able to see the whole ice from the net as during his playing career. Right. So it's, there's certainly some tendencies that he brings, but you know, just like any coach, they all have different tendencies and likes and dislikes, but no, he's brought a lot of his own stuff and thoughts in from coaching now compared to when Ryan was coaching. And then there's also some similarities and differences. So, you know, he's kind of brought his own little stamp on the team and, you know, the guys really like playing for him. So that's really all you can ask for.
You joined the Manchester Storm in the curtailed 2019-2020 season, but you, you've come back every year since. What is it about Manchester that keeps pulling you back?
Yeah, it's a great city, great organization. You know, you mentioned the captain thing before. I think that both Matt Ginn and Ryan Finnerty have put a lot of trust in me with this organization. You know, I really enjoy the fans. Everything's been really good. They've treated me extremely well since the day I got here. So, you know, I try to consider myself a pretty loyal guy in the hockey world. And, you know, it's a lot of good relationships here, and I don't see any reason why I would ever change that. But, you know, I really take a lot of pride in putting that Manchester jersey on. And I think over the years that I've been here through Manchester, each year it's been to get into that next level, getting the organization, the team into the higher spot in the standings. And we've been able to do that each year. So, you know, the goal continues, and we just want to keep developing the organization into, you know, a top tier place to play.
Your thoughts ahead of this weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, no doubt about it. You know, you guys said there's a lot of guys getting healthier for the Giants now. And I know they've been bitten by the injury bug a little bit. But, yeah, they're a big, fast team, skilled. You got to be ready for them. They have a lot of dangerous weapons. Good goalie and best Grewani. So you just, you know, you got to be prepared and you got to come in ready to work. So, you know, that's what we'll be doing. We're coming off a big win on Saturday. So we're looking to, you know, collect some points on the road here.
Cam, listen, we really appreciate your time. You know, we won't wish you well this weekend, as we never do when we have the opposition on. But obviously, we do wish you well going forward with the Storm, and hopefully you can take points off Sheffield and Cardiff and just a few of them. But thanks for your time, mate. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers, Cam.
Big thanks to the captain of the Manchester Storm, Cam Critchlow, for joining us. Go on, says you forgot something.
I forgot to ask him. He played with Nathan McKinnon.
Oh, did he?
In Halifax. I played for, I looked, was looking through his, when I found out he was coming on, and I've looked at it before with regards to commentary as well, but he played with Nathan McKinnon. And I think he was like a captain of Halifax back then.
He was.
Halifax Mooseheads. But
and everywhere he's went.
Yeah, no, flipping. Wonder if we could keep up with him at that stage, for God's sake. He'd have been a lightning quick.
He would. But yeah, big thanks to the Cam Critchlow for joining us. And we'll talk about those games shortly. Before we move on, gents, just a little bit of admin to do. That is the player of the month. Again, I have to apologize to Kieran Long because he got the trophy he was never really presented with. But we move on to November's player of the month. And it was handed out after the game against the Nottingham Panthers. It was a runaway success for Kohei Sato. Over 56% of the vote, and presented by Graham Kenny and Charlie. It was really, really big thanks to them for presenting it. Says, I'll start with you. You know, we're going to hear from him in a minute, but very well deserved. A man who just plays on the edge and with his heart in his sleeve.
Yeah, no, he's been up and down the lineup since he came in as well, and he's sort of found a place there with another guy who, you know, he's not that much of a fast skater, and Matt McLeod. You know, we've talked about this on over the years, speed kills, and he's had speed in abundance this season, and as he has for the last few years, and it's put players on the back foot, you know, puts them on their heels. when he gets going, he's very, very difficult to stop. And it's not just that he scored quite a few important goals over the last month, but he gets stuck in. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the room, but not afraid to get stuck in, not afraid to go to the dirty areas. He showed that on Saturday night with that goal, you know, cutting off the right wing and cutting right to the middle and slotting the past Stojanovic. So, yeah, I thought it was a fair comment, and I thought it was a fair decision from the fans to vote him for Player of the Month last month.
Davey, your thoughts? Player of the Month, Kouai Sato.
It certainly was a difficult month, and I think if anything came out of that month as a positive, I think Kouai turned a bit of a corner in terms of started to really, you know, get into the game. He talked during the week to Simon. I don't know whether we're playing the interview or not, or whether it's just going up on Twitter. But he talks about being puck first, him and McLeod getting puck first, Daniel Tedesco on that line, allowing them that little bit of freedom to go, and he's being like sort of third man into it. Scored a fantastic, never a bad game winning goal to score against the Northern Panthers. And what I disliked but liked, you know, obviously disliked that we got beaten Saturday night away to Coventry, but he took that so hard. It means a lot to him, you know, and he took it hard that he was the guy that was carrying the puck that ultimately got turned over. And, it added up at him, and hopefully he's just put that to bed. He threw that puck in the bin and get on with it. It's 3-on-3 overtime. It's slightly less of a lottery than penalty shots, but it is, you know, you're trying to make plays and on every shift. And unfortunately, that one's turned over. Look at the positives from the weekend. You know, you score the game-winning goal against your hero on Saturday night. You get your Player of the Month for November. Well-deserved. Thanks for the guys for presenting it there, by the way. But, you know, I like the guy's game. He's got speed. And as Simon has already said, it's one of the hardest things you can ever do. And as a D-man, Simon will tell you that more. It's one of the hardest things you can defend against. Speed, you know, you can't train speed. You've either got it or you don't. And we're fortunate to have like McLeod and Co that can get the Jets going. Marty obviously loves them on the webcast when he's talking about them. He's always talking about them getting their Jets on. And so it's, you know, we're lucky to have them. Well done.
Yeah, and like you say, big thanks to Graham and to Charlie. It was great. It was the third anniversary of Graham's heart transplant, and it was obviously transplant. Transplant discussion game as well that night as well. So yeah, big thanks to those guys for presenting the View from the Bridge Player of the Month to Kouai Sato, and a big thanks to Fonacab as always for sponsoring the award. As we've just mentioned, Mr. Kitchen had a chance to speak with Kouai Sato, and he went down the train, but not just Kouai, he also got to chat to Oliver Cooper, and let's hear those now.
Oliver Cooper after practice on Monday.
It's
Monday. OC, you've been out for a while with the injury. You've started to ramp up your rehab. You've been on the ice for the last few days. How are you feeling?
Feeling better and better every day. I mean, we got a great staff here that's helping get me back to game shape. And yeah, every day's a push and hoping to get better every day.
It's not easy watching, is it?
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough. It's felt like a long time, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm looking forward to getting back.
Jacob Friend, you can go on, Jake. How's it going?
We need him back.
when you're out that length of time, and obviously you're watching a lot of hockey, and you still get the opportunity to be around the boys, which has probably kept your spirits up, because in North America, with the way that teams work out a lot of the time, they're on the road or whatever it may be, and you just don't see your teammates as much.
Yeah, no, it's been great. I mean, got to see the boys pretty much every day, unless they're on the road, so. Everybody's been great, making me feel like I'm still part of this team, even when I'm not out there battling with them. So, yeah, it's just goes to show what a great group of guys we have in this dressing room.
Hopefully, not too far away before you see you back on the ice again and on a game night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Top man. Thanks, Jose. Omelito, kungetsu, soshetsu, Kouai Sato. That's as much as I've got, mate. What does that mean?
Just saying that congrats on your Player of the Month.
AVFTB Player of the Month. Let's talk about the hockey first of all from the weekend. Really good game Friday night here against Nottingham Panthers. You managed to get the game winning goal. What was your memories of the game and obviously the goal?
Coach put me in a place and with Macker, McLeod and Petty. Sorry. Macker obviously has a speed, and you know he wanted to utilize my speed with his speed, and you know with Teddy
maybe slowing down a little bit for us and creating a lot of space for, you know, him and his skill to, you know, shine on the ice. So I think we did that. And, you know, we forechecked. We were on probably first on the puck pretty much all night. I think me or Macker were on the first touch. We got the first touch. We created offense from there. We had plenty of chances beforehand, and, you know, we just kept telling ourselves we're going to get one, just got to be patient. And then, you know, Macker and Teddy goes out there with the power play and, you know, getting huge, you know, goals for us. And we were like, yeah, we're about time we're going to get something as a line. And we just kept talking on the ice, off the ice, you know, what we want from each other, demanding from each other. And, you know, it was a great play by, you know, Friendy. It happened from our track back. Coach was talking about that all week, and we executed it pretty well. And then Friendy just powering through like two guys and give me a beautiful backhand pass, and I just had to finish it.
Your celebration was a little bit rehearsed as well.
Yeah, honestly, I blacked out right after I scored. I mean, I haven't scored a big goal like that since, you know, pretty much last year. So, you know, just kind of went through it with my emotions, and, you know, that was that. And wish I could have done a little bit better, maybe. But
obviously, coming in on the Coventry on Sunday, 2-1 down. I thought we played really well, but 2-1 down, getting out of the 8th goal, and unfortunately just losing out in OT.
Yeah. It was a tough game. Just can't win if we're in the box so half of the time, and half of the game, one third of the game, whatever what it was. But yeah, we just gotta, you know, keep it together. I honestly thought we played a great game as well. You know, coach came in first two periods, like it's best we've seen in a long time. You know, the structure wise, D zone, everyone's doing what they're supposed to do, everyone's pulling the rope. So I think he was satisfied with it. And, you know, getting that huge goal at probably 30 seconds left in the third, and, you know, we were able to get 1 point out of it. But, you know, if we stay out of the box, they had nothing 5-on-5. So just got to do that on Wednesday, and I think we'll be all right.
Player of the month for November, voted for by the fans. You must be pretty pleased with that as well.
Yeah.
Scored some big goals last month.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Kiefer gave me an opportunity to, you know, have more ice time, you know, midst of missing guys and shorthanded bench. And I thought I took that opportunity. And then, you know, I couldn't have done it without my teammates and, you know, my line mates. And obviously, thanks for voting for me and fans. And, you know, I really appreciate it. And just got to keep it going for December when everyone comes back. And, you know, I think we got a really good depth in our lineup. So I think once we get everyone back, I think we're just going to be rolling.
Top man. Thank you very much for the shirt.
Big thanks to Oliver Cooper and the Coe Sato. Good to see Ollie back in the back in training and you know, hopefully not that far away. Just briefly before we move on, gents, is and I think this is unfair, Simon, but we have a comment there from Ironheart saying Japanese sounds brutal in a Northern Ireland accent.
I think he's right, actually. In fairness,
the David sent me.
What's that?
You've been learning it too, or
just. Because Davey wasn't there, he sort of asked me to step in for him, but I'll leave it to Davey because his Japanese is better than mine.
How's that Duolingo going for you, Davey?
Saving it.
You're saving it. Saving it for the next time he's on. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Let's crack on. A couple of things to cover before we just look briefly to the games ahead. And we'll start with Dops. More Dops coming in, and this time, if I can find it here, it's Chad Pietranero of the Cardiff Devils. He's been assessed 3 games for boarding in the game against the Glasgow Clan that took place at the weekend. Says your thoughts on this.
See if your man has the puck here. I think it's a good hit. He did travel a good bit, like probably gets on 2 minutes for charging. If he has the puck, but if you watch the play, and yes, I get it, it's slowed down, and he makes it just a lovely little pass up the wall or up the inside there. If you let it play on a wee bit,
So at this moment in time in Dops, Luke Fisher is giving the commentary on it. So
that little pass there is lovely. He's looking at, he's admiring his pass, and then Pietrangelo literally levels him. Again, if he has the puck, it's probably 2 minute boarding call. Or sorry, 2 minute charging call. At full speed, it looks absolutely brutal. What did he get for? Is it 3 games he got for it?
3 games.
You know, but it's look, that's Pietrangelo's role. He's out there to run bodies and hit hard and at full speed it looks bad. But again, if he's got the puck, I don't see it as bad.
Short on ice time of late, Pietrangelo, and didn't really get a run out in the Continental Cup, which of course the final coming back to Cardiff. Davey, your thoughts on it?
Sorry, Davey. Just for one thing, when you watch that play, when you watch that develop, and you see Glasgow turn up ice, I actually think it tells the whole story, because no Glasgow player thought it was a bad hit. They all were turning up ice to go the other way, and players can. I don't want to say police the game themselves, because the game's changing, but again, it's the worst part of it is it's the lateness. But I don't know who it was. Is it Callan? Nate Callan, I think. If he needs to be smarter, he's too busy admiring. He looks over his shoulder and he's too busy admiring the pass. I'm not paying any attention to Pietrangelo at all. So you've got to know who's out there with you. You've got to pay attention. Ben Davies makes a bit of a balls of the play there, in fairness. But Pietrangelo just steps in. He's not, you know, he's gliding. He's not really. Yeah, he's got the puck. I think it's a good hit.
Davey, your thoughts?
I think he's came from too far to make that hit there, Simon. I don't think the player's there to be hit, but I also understand why he's made the hit, but he's elevated up through it and everything. It's not a clever hit. He's been banned. He just had to live with it. At full speed, it looks horrific. Slowed down, it doesn't look clever.
3 games for Chad Pietrangelo. I don't think he's served any of those yet, because that was the second game, wasn't it? The Cardiff game. Anyway, let's crack on. I'll play some of the goals of the week while I give you some of the news from around the Elite League. Quarterfinal of the Cup is underway, with Guildford, Cardiff and Sheffield all taking leads back home for the second leg. Belfast and Coventry, of course, battle their first leg out on Wednesday night. In the league, entertainment in Dundee as Mark Lefebvre is ejected from the game as his side lose to Cardiff, breaking a stick over the bench boards and a few words to say to the officials, which seems to be the way of the week. Flames took 2 points in overtime in Sheffield on Saturday night, while across the Pennines, as we just spoke with Cam Critchlow, Storm shut out the Flyers 4-0. On Sunday, north of Hadrian's Wall, Cardiff rounded off a 4-point weekend with a win against the fist-bumping Clan. And Sheffield were in Kirkcaldy for a 4-3 win over Fife. All the games were rounded out with a 3-1 win for Coventry over the Panthers, who take no points from the weekend at all. What a shame. The league table, as it looks, let's see, we're currently, let's share this one. Sheffield Steelers are top of the league, 25 points from 15 games. Cardiff, 23 points from 16. Glasgow are in third position, 16 games played, 19 points. Coventry and Manchester behind on 17, which we are on 17. I think we are 17 games played, 17 points, 50 goals for, 50 goals against, which is a bit of symmetry for you. Statistical symmetry. You like a bit of that, Davey. Dundee, 7th, 17 points from 17 also. Guildford are 8th, and then Nottingham and Fife round off the league table. Davey, your thoughts on that?
Still, I think that, I know it's cliche, we say it all the time, Paddy, we'll talk about it in the 1st of January. There's a lot of games here. I think I said with 12 games in 23 days, first two are down. So we've, 10 games and whatever, 18 days or something there.
Any surprises there?
No. Coventry, it just goes to show how tight it is, because Coventry were bottom 2 weeks ago. And they've got 8 points out of 10. So they're now, actually, yeah, 8 points out of 10. So they're now at fourth. Like, David just touched on it there. Look, you'd love to be top of the table right now. Don't get me wrong. The Steelers are in a really positive position. They're playing well. They're an all-star team right now. Let's be honest. The Steelers are the ones to beat. And you know, there's a long, long way to go.
I sent that to a Steelers supporting mate of mine yesterday. And he was, as you would be, he was quite cautious. And he says, you know, we normally come down with the Christmas decorations, so he's not getting ahead of himself. But they do look strong at this moment in time. This weekend, starting on Wednesday, the Belfast Giants have 3 games in the next 7 days. Blaze away on Wednesday night in the first leg of the quarterfinal of the Challenge Cup. Wednesday at 7:30 at the Sky Dome, and if you're not down to that, you can get it on Blaze TV. And then we come back, as we were just talking with Cam Critchlow there, of the Manchester Storm for 2 games at the SSE Arena against the Storm. And as you said, Simon, in that interview, the very same games at the very same time last season sort of changed our season around because we lost both of them to the Manchester Storm. Both games are at the SSE Arena Saturday at 7 p.m. Friday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 7 p.m. Get yourself down to the SSE for those. And if not, Mr. Kitchen will, of course, take you through. No Marty on Friday, because I heard he says he's look after the children. But
oh, that's right. I need to get somebody else. I'll sort that tomorrow. I forgot all about that.
Your thoughts? I think this is the start of us starting to ramp up the Christmas season. Three games in the next 7 days, and then it just keeps going from there.
Yeah, there's a lot of hockey to be played. I mean, we're away tomorrow night. Back 15, 16 at home, 20 at home, 22 at home, 23 on the road. 26 on the road, 28, 30 at home, 31 on the road. So, you know, there's a lot of hockey to be played. Thankfully, as I say, we're hopefully, there's a few bodies coming back. We'll wait and see what the lineup is tomorrow night. But, you know, hopefully we're not far off getting full strength. And you know, Adam will be able to pick from all the players available instead of picking who's fit and who's ready to go, which, let's be honest, it's been a tough go for the last few weeks.
We talked about Kieran Long a couple of weeks ago, and the fact that he was doing so well with OC in the lineup. And we've just seen OC there in the interviews that you did at training. How close is OC, do you think? Is he coming along well?
I'm not a physio, mate. Wouldn't want to speculate. But he's getting closer.
Good. I think Davey is, as these weeks and months come in, as players start to get in the lineup, as the schedule gets heavier, it just becomes more and more crucial that we get these bodies back in.
Yeah, it would be a nice problem for Adam to have the opposite problem where he's having to pick players to leave out, and that comes with its own, you know, players then put pressure on each other that they have to be on top of their game every night, and that brings competition, which is healthy in my opinion. So, you know, the sooner we get everybody fit and fighting for ice time, the better.
A bit of news in from Gareth Martin, who's watching under 20s GB. Apparently, they lost in overtime to Lithuania. I think they won last night, didn't they?
They won last night. I can't remember who they were playing. They won last night. Day off tomorrow. We Kel Beattie scored last night, and Mac both scored last night. So good to see. And look, I wish them best luck the rest of the week, obviously.
I'm sure you do. the games this week for the Belfast Giants, away to the Blaze Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. And then those two home games, Friday at 7 and Saturday at 7 p.m. Both of them at the SSE Arena, or get them on Giants TV. Any other business?
Simon, we're going to have to do this again.
Hi, Arlene. We already
didn't see her shout out. She didn't see it.
She probably did. She's winding me up. Hi, Arlene.
Arlene Dixon claims she didn't hear her her shout out. Well, Arlene, big shout out.
Thank you.
Any other business, boys?
Not from me.
Yeah, you've got a wee screenshot there, which if you can put that up there, Paddy, give us a bit of a hand. There's a lot happening this weekend at the SSE Arena. Friday night, the Cash for Kids starts Friday night on Saturday night. That's a list of stuff that would be preferred if you possibly can. They're talking about between 7 and 12 years of age. I know there's a photograph online from the Cash for Kids, and they're really struggling from around 7 years to 12 years of age, both boys and girls. And if you can help out in any way, shape, or form, please, please do. It's you know, we're very lucky that we have we've got our situations in order, and there's families out there who are struggling, and if we can help them out, and you know, just literally pick up a little extra gift and throw it into the Cash for Kids pile this weekend, it'd be very, very much appreciated. Is there another one?
No, that's the only one I got.
Is it? Oh, I don't think I sent you the second one. Can maybe second here, because I'm going to get shouted at. But the other set of things is we've got the Teddy Toss on Saturday's game.
Yes.
And again, there's a video out. If it's not out now, it'll be out very soon. So keep an eye on the video coming out. New Teddies only, please. We're going to Craig Avenary Hospital, the Royal, and the Ulster Hospital. And I want to say Causeway Hospital as well. I think Dicko takes them up there. So anything that you can do, please, please, please make sure you put them in a bag and it's a new teddy bear, and hopefully we'll give you something to cheer early on Saturday to get those teddies thrown on the ice and get them out of the way. And you know, again, our fans have been absolutely unbelievable over the years with Teddy Toss. I can't remember exactly when it was last year. I want to say close to 1,400 or 1,500 because we stayed behind them the next morning and got them all sorted. And then we're doing it this Saturday night after the game, because there's a gig on the Saturday, they've all got to be sorted. So Laura's going to be working all hours and over the weekend as well, as she always does. So if you can help, please, please do. It'll be very, very much appreciated.
It was great to have Laura on last week talking about all these initiatives that are taking place over the Christmas period. And we'll tweet up a bit more information on all the stuff that's been going on. One thing to ask you is, how was the quiz after the game on Friday?
Yeah, the quiz seemed to be a bit of crack. John Stewart won. That's why he's posting up there. That's exactly why they're throwing it up there. But you know what? I can't do the quiz without Davey's stats. Most of the questions were based on the stats. You know, it confuses some people when you try and word the questions properly. Like, for argument's sake, we've had three goaltenders that have played ice time this season, add their numbers together. It took me about half an hour to explain to one person about that.
Hang on, they work that out.
You work it out there for the meantime.
74.
Well done, David. That's really decent. That's the right answer as well. But okay, that's how hard some of the questions were. But it was good crack. This weekend, we're doing a wee bit. Again, Friday night, there's going to be another game and another couple of good prizes up for grabs as well. So keep your eyes on the Giants socials over the next 24, 48 hours. And we'll have a bit of crack with that as well.
So there's a lot of chat in the there's a lot of gloating going on in the live chat.
I think there's a mobile phone involved as well. You would say there's probably one or two mobile phones working overtime there. There's a few people sneaking off to the toilet and coming back with a question. Instead of, you know, we were basically asking the question and putting them out there straight away and then answering off that and handing, like we used to do in school, you were hand your paper to the next table and let them answer the questions for you. So
Give us a question.
Give me one second. Did we probably talk about something else?
Sometimes when I go to the toilet, I come back with all sorts of ideas. You know what I mean? Maybe people go to the toilet and just think of what.
Right, okay, maybe. Here you go. All right, here's a couple for you. So question number one, last weekend. So we played our first game of the season in Luco in the CHL. Who scored the first goal of the season?
Kieran Long.
No. These are your stats, Davey.
Daniel.
No.
We lost 6-1.
We could beat 3-1. No, we could beat 3-1.
Oh, it was 6 the next day.
Yeah, we get 6-0 the next day. But 3-1, we could beat in Luco. It was his first goal for the club.
Oh, that's right. Because I watched it. It was in the. I watched it in the pub. Ah, oh, what was that?
You want me to go to question number two and come back to that?
Was it Quinn Preston?
No.
No. Right, question two. Go on.
Spencer scored. Greg Prince is right. Yes.
Spencer scored, yeah.
Question number two. Mads Gendron joined the Giants from which team in Norway?
Don't know any teams in Norway. Herring Blue Foxes. Are they even from
They're
Norway?
Denmark.
They're Denmark. Lillehammer?
Storhammer.
Storhammer.
Something Hammer. There you go. Something Hammer.
You'll get this, Davey. How many players this now? This is only not taken into consideration last weekend's games, but how many players this season have played every competitive game for the Giants? Not including last weekend, but to be honest, they all played last weekend as well. How many players have played every game this season, competitive games?
Nice, you know, that's 28 games. There's no more. It's been a very bad season for Ironman. I would say at the very most, there's probably four, maybe five.
I was going to go with six.
You're both wrong. There's eight.
Really? I'll change that in the spreadsheet for
Charlie Curry, Gibby Phillips, Nazarian, Mark Cooper, Quinn Preston.
Yeah,
Travis Brown, and up until last weekend, Kieran Long.
Kieran Long, yeah.
How many American-born players are in the Giants roster this year?
I don't know.
See, this isn't fair. We're being put on the pressure. There's people watching this and they're going, on.
Oh, you're the host. You're the one who did it. Dave, you'll get this one. You'll get this one. This is from the toilet.
See you later.
Okay. Scott Conway scored how many goals in 22-23 season?
Last season?
Yep.
51.
You're all crap.
I don't know. That was last year. No, I need to score 50-something.
56.
56, there you go.
Last one. You had this last week. You both know this one. Like, you both know this. So, which club did the Belfast Giants obtain George Iwata from?
The Manchester Phoenix.
Correct.
See, I can do that one.
Aye, put your phone down.
Hold on. Now, those sort of questions I can answer. How many goals Scott Conway got last season? That's why Davey's on the podcast. You know what I mean?
Here, there's one for you, Paddy. Davey will know this. How many fight majors did Adam Keith have for the club?
Ooh, that's a great question.
I know this.
Well,
I can tell you how many. I have a fair idea,
but
I'm not 100% on it. I'll let Paddy throw a number out.
At 30.
31? 53. 53. Thank God you two weren't in my team.
Just shows it's not fixed, Simon.
We're just testing it out. But I'm glad it went well, mate. I'm glad these things are going well. Right, shall we wrap things up here? Now we've been suitably embarrassed by these questions. the games of the Giants, as I said, Wednesday away to the Blaze. You get that on Blaze TV. And then Friday and Saturday at home to the Manchester Storm. That is 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena or with the fabulous Mr. Kitchen on Giants TV. You've got one more question, Stiz. Go on.
Yeah, Kevin Madden swore Cooper missed a game this year. You're absolutely right. He did miss a game, but it wasn't a competitive game. He missed a game against Glasgow on the 15th of September, and he had to go back for a wedding in North America.
That's correct.
You're welcome, Kevin.
Big thanks to Jacob Friend, to Cam Critchlow, Ollie Cooper, and Kohei Sato. Thanks to Davey for cutting the goals despite putting the stuff on me. Thanks to Sizz for getting all the stuff down the train, and we appreciate that. Big thanks to everybody who's been interacting with us here live. We really enjoy it when you guys get involved. You can get us at AVFTB on Twitter or X. You can get us on YouTube, Facebook, kingdomofthegiants.com. Send us an email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. Davey, Simon, good to see you, boys.
Haters.
excuse me, and wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Sports Social Podcast Network.